Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Hello, it's Robert here. We're at the Marsh Harrier on Marsh Road in Oxford for the second ever Oxford Dumpty Dum meetup.
Dumpty-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum- Good morning. This is a public service announcement for Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's Jan Mitchell calling in to encourage you to join the Dumpty Dum Patreon team. For a small donation of $2 a show, you will get access to extra content like Roy Field's fabulous interviews, Anya, who plays Alexi, of course, and Headley, who plays the mysteriously missing Kathy. Those interviews really enriched my enjoyment of The Archers, and I'm really looking forward to the next one with Becky Wright, who played Nick Grundy. Please consider supporting our wonderful Dumpty Dum creative team. You won't be disappointed. Oh, and by the way, no one asked me to do this. This is all on me. Bye, everybody.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is set at Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the prize-winning Texel, that is Roy Field Brown, and with me I have the woolly hooligan toddler attacker, that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Ed's violent flock, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum is it's an old one. It's our Robert and his meetup. It's a very successful meetup that he did in Oxford. There were loads of them, and long may it continue that we have meetups in Oxford. But Lucy, if somebody wants to send us in a Dumpty Dum, how exactly can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction or get a 2-for-1 on Bang Bang Chicken. Call us on 0203 031 3105. I don't know why that sounds rude. It doesn't. Or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and to Derek Lone in the back bedroom. Derek is very excited at the moment as he's booked his EasyJet flight to Torremolinos and, having seen the news, is very much hoping he'll be sucked through the aeroplane window.
It's going to be some person that's going to be on the other side of that aeroplane window to be sucking off our Derek, isn't there? There's some person indeed. Talking about incredible people, did you see Spider-Man in France? Wasn't it amazing?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
What
incredible.
Kind of real parkour craziness.
I know. And he was so fast.
Yes.
Normally you'd kind of have a bit of a shit. Can I do that? Can I really, someone ought to do something. Oh God, I'm going to have to do something, aren't I? You know what I mean? But just that his decision to do it and then just do it was so quick. Amazing.
Immigrants are so wonderful, aren't they?
Yep.
Hey, on this week's episode, we have calls from Bly Spirit, Laurie and Jacqueline Berthaud. Oh, talking about France. Hello, Jacqueline. But first, before Jacqueline, Bly Spirit and Laurie, it's Juicy Lucy Freeman and a week in Ambridge. And I remember, I've got to go this. I've got to do this. I'll go like this.
Lexi is on top of the sausages. Adam and Ian, I know you're disappointed, but I'm really not sure that's the way to go either. Shula once again forgot that she'd told Alistair their marriage was over. She wasn't interested in him anymore. She didn't care what he did. It was all one to her. And instead followed him around going, "Where are you going? Where though? Can I come? Does Lavinia's schnauzer need looking at again?" Fallon has decided that the cafe is going to be a plastic-free zone, which means she's lost Lillian, the customer, for a start. The bottles will be glass, the tablecloths will be linen, and the scones will be awful. Poppy wants to call Ed's prize ram Peppa Pig. I love the fact that Ed's biggest concern about this was the fact that the sheep was a boy, not that it was not a pig. It's a ram lamb. As it's a ram lamb, they should definitely call it Ding Dong. Lindy Bottom is not feeling herself. She was missing having a dog, although she'd got fed up with most of them. Lady was a tramp. That one with the asthma was weird. So off they went to the dog pound and bought some terrifying frothing Doberman on the grounds that Lindy Bottom thought that he was a reincarnation of Scruff. In fact, she seemed to have fallen so heavily in love with the damn thing that if I was Robert, I'd be slightly anxious. Jenny Darling popped off to Febreze to get a quick blow before her dinner with Brian. But Alice turned up whinging because she'd had to do some work. Jenny Darling immediately reported Price Bauman to the Modern Slavery Commission. "My daughter, although in an advanced state of intoxication most of the time, is having to work in an office and type things. It's disgusting. I brought her up to loll on cushions hiccuping while putting her foot in it." Brian then had a bright idea and offered Alice a job. A slightly unwise move for a man who's lost control of things to the extent that he's barely got his own bowel movements nailed down. Talking of bravery... Jenny Darling and Brian went to La Femme du Monde and Jenny Darling picked crab pakoras and bang bang chicken, presumably to ensure that Brian left her alone that night, as once she let him back into the marital bed, he'd nearly knocked her bedside lamp over twice. And once again, "A party is absolutely what we need," said Jennifer. "Will they never learn? The only thing they could do, which would be marginally worse, is all go on a caravan holiday together. And as the caravans are currently full of young Polish men trying to work out whose go it is to go and see Adam in his office while he takes down their credentials, that is unlikely. So as a result, Jenny Darling is muscling in on Ruth's birthday party. Now, Ruth was hoping for party rings, microwaved hot dogs and a grab bag of Quavers. What she's getting is a whole dressed salmon and Jenny Darling screaming about people getting wasabi cracker crumbs on her au buisson. Jenny Darling got her laptop out and started filling out the party spreadsheet. "Clustered balloons?" she asked. "Well, yes," said David. "I think it's from sitting on the Aga, but the anisole's doing wonders." "Is anyone gluten intolerant?" she asked keenly. "Well, my mother's just intolerant generally, really," said David vaguely. "Allergies? Don't tell me. Someone is going to be diagnosed with a latent peanut allergy or be carted off frothing with a satay stick poking out of their mouth while the Radio 4 continuity person tells us about the BBC's new allergy campaign. Will was taking the children to the cinema to see Schindler's List for half term and then decided to appeal for custody of all the children. Everybody's. His, Andrew's, Jack and Henry, Pip's baby, Princess Charlotte and the Button Girls. Auntie Cardboard popped up and begged to be allowed to do the flowers on the tables for the Flassment wedding, which she described as very exciting. But then if you're living with Auntie Piggy, the new Lakeland catalogue arriving would make you wet your pants. More foreplay going on at Woodbine Cottage. Or shelving, as people outside Ambridge refer to it. This time it was harassment. He already has somewhere to put his dickie, so he decided he needed somewhere to rest his knickknacks instead. Shula is not very well. "Do you want to see the doctor?" said Alistair. "God, yes," said Shula. "Please, ideally, in the nip, waving a bar of dairy milk." And the environmental agency turned up at Home Farm and scared the pants off Brian to such an extent that he personally added to the runoff in the groundwater. Basically, the Environment Agency now lives at Home Farm and they're never ever leaving. The whole place is built on a wobbling, spongy quagmire of poison, like a toxic trifle. The only service Kate will be able to provide is a chemical peel. Jenny Darling will have to go and work in the chicken factory and Brian will be reduced to hawking his somewhat flabby arse around Hollerton Junction. Ha! The fall of the House of Aldridge couldn't have happened to a nicer family. The end.
Oh, it's not stopping, though, is it? The fall, the descent,
Yes, I know. Every time we think it's left. But the thing is, it's Jenny Darling's fault, because every time she says, "We are unbeatable, we are a great team, they will never keep us down, the Aldridges are back," something terrible happens within about the next 10 minutes. It happens every single time. If Jenny Darling could just learn to shut up, it wouldn't happen. I am aware that she's right. She's reading words that someone else, you know what I mean?
You made me think halfway through your monologue. There was a gentleman whose name escapes me, a Polish gentleman who in 1942 led 140.
Oh, Nicholas Thingy.
Oh, what a hero.
Did you see him on That's Life? I know I'm going back a bit, but...
No, how could he have been on That's Life? Oh, because he died in the... Okay, sorry.
Yeah, he was on That's Life in the 1970s, and he's sitting in the audience, and they suddenly turned the camera on him, and all the people around him stood up, and she said, "Do you know why you're standing up?" And he said, "No," and she said, "They're all the children that you saved."
Oh, no. This is another gentleman.
Oh!
Another gentleman, right. And I was furiously trying to Google... And when you said what you said about the whole Schindler's List thing, which prompts two stories, and I'll very quickly just spurt them. So he was a Polish.
Royfield, that's unpleasant.
Spurt and spout, right? That's what I'm going to do. So he was Polish, and he was looking. He had this orphanage for young Jewish children, and then the Germans decided to invade. And then they throw them in the Warsaw ghetto. And he and the Germans kept on saying, "Well, you're not Jewish, so why are you doing this?" And he says, "No, because, you know, they're innocents and I've got to look after them." So for the 3 years, you know, terrible circumstances, he still kept his orphanage going for these young Jewish children. And then in 1942, when the SS rolled in and go, "Right, we're off to the camps." And the SS captain said to him one more time, "Look, you step over there. Right, because we're going to a place of no return." And he said, "No, because these children cannot be scared, and I will go with them." So, yes. And he went off with his 192 orphans to the gas chambers because he didn't want them to be scared and to be afraid and on their own. And there are the kind of statues to this person, just great, you know, heroism. And then just very quickly on the old Schindler's List thing, there's an amazing This American Life podcast about 2 months ago on a bunch of black Oakland students going to see Schindler's List and the fallout when Schindler's List was in the cinema. So we're talking about mid-90s, mid to early 90s, and the fallout and of them going to see it and them being incredulous that such a thing could happen, and what it said about the educational system because they weren't aware of the Holocaust, and they
really?
Were very blunt. Yes. It's amazing, and how they were frog marched out of the cinema, and the fallout, and it made local news in Oakland. A couple of months ago, This American Life, fascinating episode about. Ignorance, lack of educational system, a teacher wanting to educate the children, culture clash because I went to this very liberal artsy cinema, and yeah, absolutely fascinating, and a real kind of point of local Oakland history all around Schindler's List. Anyway, on that note, Lucy, because we haven't got much time this week, have we? Because I've just spurted and spouted. Shall we listen to some caller interest?
Yes.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
What do you want? Bit of France, bit of Laurie, or bit of Bly Spirit?
Let's start with Laurie, as he's a first timer.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. This is Laurie calling from That There London. A long-time listener, first-time caller in a row. And the reason I'm calling in is I think I may have a plot prediction that's worth sharing for the first time ever. My housekeeping, I am on the social media, but I never post anything, so I don't think there's much point in me offering you my handle, as it were. And I think that I am a harassment Burns. But my prediction, so we know that there's going to be an inheritance storyline, and we also know that Auntie Chris is going a bit doolally, which is obviously going to have a massive impact on Peggy with all that she went through with Jack, as I'm sure other people will have noticed. But if we recall, when Auntie Chris was conned out of all her money, Peggy went to the accountant. So I suspect that Peggy will kick the bucket. She will have changed her will to leave most, if not all, of her money to Auntie Chris, and Auntie Chris will be completely gone by then. She'll be cuckoo, and the vultures will start to circle, and we will see a massive drama. Keep up the good work with the show. Thanks a lot.
That, you know, every time anyone says Auntie Chris, I always think of Antichrist. But anyway, that's she's the most un-Antichristy type person, anyway. But that's really good.
I think
he's right. I think he might well be right about Piggy leaving loads of money to Auntie Chris. And then someone's got to get power of attorney over Auntie Chris, haven't they?
The only flaw in this story for me is the fact that we know that old actors who've been in it forever, they don't write them out willy-nilly for the sake of a story. And they wait for them to...
Well, unless she's decided she's had enough.
No, she's not going... At her time in life, you wouldn't, would you? When she decides she's had enough, that she's in a coffin. It's as simple as that. You know, that's the truth of the matter. But that's not to say that they're not necessarily setting this up for when she does pass.
Mm.
You know, because she can't last forever, can she?
No.
Yanis Korczak was the name of the selfless hero who went to the Treblinka camp in 1942. Anyway,
thank you very much for ringing in, Laurie. It's very nice to hear new persons.
It's nice
to hear the old persons too.
And he did go through the gears eventually, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did. He even said, I'm a Harrisman Burns.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well done to you, sir.
Yeah.
Now, time is oppressing. Let's go to France, Jacqueline Berto.
Hi, it's Jacqueline Berto from Saint-Gouen in France. I'm ringing in with a prediction. I don't do predictions very often. Everybody else out there is much more in tune than I am. But I think we're seeing the House of Aldridge fall, and we've seen it for the last few weeks. But my prediction is that the strain will all be too much for Brian, and he'll have a stroke or a heart attack and probably die. It's all very gloomy, but then there'll be the big reveal about his will, and that's when the chaos will really turn into top chaos. Shula, of course, will have to get out too, but haven't worked that one out yet. I don't think I ever work anything out, really. But thanks for doing the show. Bye.
Bye.
Mm. It's nice to hear from you, Jacqueline. We haven't heard from Jacqueline in a little while, have we?
But that's another good one, isn't it?
It is.
Well, we know someone's going to die, don't we? I mean, this has been a kind of a relentless... so far, two out of two callers are predicting a death, and it's either Piggy or Brian.
Mm.
But the Daily Telegraph said, or the Telegraph, whatever the hell they're called now, said last year that the big storyline was going to be revolving around Brian, and it was to do with the home farm inheritance. Mm. So Peggy wouldn't affect that, would she?
And the other reason to give Laurie's prediction some kind of validity is it would make complete sense for Peggy not to give much money out to her descendants, because she's already given out a shed load.
Yeah.
Hasn't she?
Yep.
And she's even made a point of saying Helen's got the cottage. She said to Tony, I'm not giving you stuff because of X and Y and Z. So it would make complete sense for her to go, well, it's all going to a cat's home or to Auntie Christine.
And
or
she keeps talking about how anxious she is about Christine. And she says she knows I'll look after her. So we don't know whether that means look after her monetarily or look after her, in terms of... What?
No, sorry.
Sexually?
Sorry, I don't know why that thought ran into my mind.
I
will edit that out of the final podcast. Don't worry.
Royfield, what is going on in that little head?
I don't know. God. I don't know where that thought came from. I'm sorry.
Are you a bit tired or something?
Yes.
So whether she's talking about looking after her financially or whether she's talking about looking after her in terms of her old age or impending senility or what. But she did say, I will look after her. So there we are.
Right.
Let's see if we can go for the hat trick on plot predictions. Oh, we need to talk about Rob coming back as well.
Hello, Dumpty Dum, Blythe Spirit calling. Well, I've just listened to Friday's episode and I have to confess to a moment of panic when Alistair and Shula were getting on alarmingly well. And I was thinking, please, for the love of God, let them not get back together. Then when Alistair said, Shula, everything's changed. Phew, what a sigh of relief. I mean, let's face it, we've all been through breakups where we'd be perfectly happy to see our exes having their asses licked in perpetuity by the flames of hell. And Alistair is being remarkably mature about all of this because he could quite easily tell her to take a running jump. But anyway, the scene was actually quite touching, wasn't it? I mean, I think this is a really nicely rounded picture of a breakup, all the horrible bits and, you know, the nice bits and especially the bit where you remember the good part as well of the relationship when you get to that stage. So, yeah, actually quite touching. As for the Aldridges, it would appear that the scriptwriters have decided to really ram them into the ground, isn't it? Well, quite literally, the groundwater, which apparently is now contaminated, looks like it's going to be a long, drawn-out disaster. And Christine, something's obviously going on there. I really hope it won't be a reboot of the Alzheimer's Jack slow decline storyline. I think we could really do without that. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see what she is suffering from, because this is obviously something that's going to emerge at some point. Anyway, I hope everyone is well out there in Dumpty Dum land, and hopefully I will speak to you again soon. Cheers now. Bye.
The problem is with saying that we don't want a repeat of the Alzheimer's storyline is that, dare I say it, that storyline repeats in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But it does feel like it's just, you know, too soon. Though, but that was like 8 years ago now. It was some time ago.
I agree with what Laurie said. I hadn't thought of that, that, you know, poor Peggy's already been through having to look after somebody with significant senility. And, you know, it would be really cruel for her to have to go through all that again with Auntie Christine.
There is a perfect line between Jack and Christine, and the effect it's going to have on Peggy and older carers. And it's well observed, and I think he could well be right. He could well be right.
Because her son, because Peter's her adopted son, isn't he? I wonder if he'll come back. He'll probably pitch up when she's loaded and he's got to get power of attorney. That tends to, in Ambridge anyway, that tends to bring the relations flooding back from wherever they've been hiding, doesn't it?
Since you've been listening, he's never come back, has he?
I don't think so. She talks about him. She's had a letter from him. She's had a card from him. She's da 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 da. And I think she goes to stay with him every so often, but I don't think I've ever heard him, no.
Yeah, so we are queued up for another archer just to appear.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Except he's not, he's a Barford, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's half archer. When I, you know, like Aldridges are half archers, aren't they?
Yes, that's true.
It's the reason why they have it's the reason why they have such prominence in the whole thing. So we haven't done Lily and Freddie, have we, this week? And Ross.
That's really getting on my nerves.
Really?
I don't know. I'm just disappointed in Lily, but I'm disappointed in her in the same way that you are when you look back at your teenage self and think, oh God, you were such a dick. What were you doing? Do you know what I mean?
But you can imagine, but you look at it from her point of view, he's taken her to Greece.
I know.
You know, how exciting, how romantic. He's declaring commitment to her.
No, darling, Puglia's in Italy.
What?
He's taken her to Puglia.
Ah, right. And listen, my notes from the Lowfield website said Ross is taking her to Greece.
Apulia, oh, maybe he is now. Who knows? He doesn't tell me anything.
Well, my research could well be wonky, but if it is wonky, it's Lowfield that you need to rail at there, Lucy, not me, because I'm just cutting and pasting from there. I've never been to Apulia. I've been all over Italy, but never gone that far south. Many a girlfriend has complained. Anyway, shall we have an ad break? Come back the other side. I'll touch the socials and then you can do tweets of the week.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Yokel Bear here calling with the social media roundup for the week. I'm going to start with the forum, actually, and it's a call out for people to post for a particular post. Trevor Ellis has posted over and asked the questions, how's David and Ruth? How's Pip doing? So somebody head over there and let Trevor know what they're up to. Of course, we've got the Ruth's 50th coming up. Jenny organising it. It's going to be hilarious, isn't it? You can just see it going wrong already. So, yeah, quite looking forward to that. But over on the Facebook page, we kind of started the week talking about Susan. Because it felt last week felt like a bit of a peak Susan week, didn't it? So we were talking about her as the village communications hub, shall we say. Denise Tomlinson said, the worse Susan is, the more I love her. And yeah, that's what I kind of like about her. I love it when she goes into full judgmental gossip mode. Al Williams says that Susan has many good points, hardworking, a great cook, and she loves her family. And he likes her far more than that lazy entitled Helen or that sanctimonious Pip, Jill or Pat. Yeah, I think I agree with that as well. I think we all love her. Bit of Susan. She drives you mad sometimes, but there is something about her, isn't she? I think, and her heart's in the right place. I think the whole thing with the rota for Will was just such a kind of lovely act. So I think we all agreed she's annoying sometimes, but she's got a good heart. Now let's talk the big issues. Plastic. I don't know about you, but I got a subliminal message from the Archers this week that plastic might be bad or something. Yeah, it was laying it on a bit, really, wasn't it? So we asked the question, is Fallon going to be unbearable? But this actually led to a really good kind of load of replies about the kind of, you know, these issues that come into the Archers. Meg Edge Goose Cubbly says they never just deal with an issue in a sensible, realistic way. They always kind of pick one person who's suddenly insufferable, single track minded and antisocial. Stephen Thomas says, I admit the chances of finding a turtle in Ambridge with a straw up its nose are slim. I don't know, though. I mean, you never know what Brian's dumped somewhere, do you? He also went on to say, can't Fallon just invest in an environmentally friendly ISA and then shut up about her recent obsessions? Karen Cunningham says, Fallon is the new Krusty. Disgust. And also, yeah, we got a bit of Kirsty this week as well, which was interesting, that one, wasn't it? But this also led to kind of a wider discussion, because Rob Killick posted saying, how do listeners feel about squeezing in of things like sports relief and the big BBC weekend? That led to quite a lot of discussion. Charlotte Foster said, I'm too busy getting in my 10K steps in to notice. Ben Thompson said, a brief comment like the big weekend is fine, but a painful storyline sours the whole show. And personally, I felt that that was a bit what happened with Fallon this week. She could not stop talking about it. And she's got a wedding coming up, and she's talking more about the plastic. I don't know. So other people said that they were kind of annoyed by it. But Dave Campbell, I think, summed up some people with one word, which said resigned, you know, just resigned so that this is happening. Also, as well, another person posted, Quentin Bennett posted a post about one for the weekend, who has the best dress sense in Ambridge. Well, people that came out was Paul Schluss said Alice when she isn't too plastered. Tony Shepherd thinks Jolene probably always looks nice. But I'm going with Quentin's himself. I'm with Quentin on this one. He says, I reckon Jim is always looking dapper, even in his PJs and silk dressing gown. Yeah, I think Jim is kind of the sartorial model that I think I'd like to aim for myself. So, but also as well, one of the big issues that we talked about this week was whether Rob is going to come back. I posted kind of the link to the newspaper article about whether Rob is going to come back, and that led to probably the most amount of posts that we've had in a week or even in a while. I think it's kind of important I think it was interesting because I think on the one hand, it may not happen. I think from what I can gather, somebody said this at the Hay Festival, and so then it made, oh, look, Rob's coming back and what have you, but it might not happen. There were some interesting comments about this. Scarlet Pimpernel said, please let this be fake news. But a lot of people were saying, look, it is kind of realistic that this isn't kind of over, that people like this do come back, and he wasn't put in prison and stuff like that. As Hackney says, it is unrealistic that Rob should ever be heard of again. She actually said, I would be glad to hear he's back, but maybe in small doses. I think also as well, Jennifer Reba said, of course he is. Predators don't just disappear. The sense of power that comes with intimidating their victims is too strong a drug. But I think a lot of people were kind of, I think where this discussion came out was that I think there's some people who really, really don't want him to come back. I think there was a few people who said, yeah, you know, that's okay. If he comes back, he comes back. But I think most people were kind of resigned that if he does come back, it will be for a reason. Maybe to finally wrap up all the loose ends. I don't know about you, but I'm holding out for, you know, maybe Rob being found in a culvert. I think that would wrap things up nicely, wouldn't it? So anyway, that's the social media roundup for this week. So you have Millie Bell next week, who'll be looking after the Facebook page and social medias this week. So that's me done. Okay, bye. Cheerio.
Thank you for that, Yokel Bear.
okay, just a quick thing on the Rob thing. Everybody went hysterical and said, rah, 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 rah. And Kerry did a calm down everybody message this morning. I'm not sure if...
Did he?
Yeah. Let me see if I can find it. He said, we have not said it is going to happen this week, ever, or, you know, not this week, not this. It may not even be this year. It may not actually happen at all. We were just saying that it could happen. And that we didn't kill him, and you know, there's a what's his Twitter thingy?
Who's
Kerry? Yeah, oh, Kerry Davis. There we go. Yeah. Oh, that's right. He said, "What is true is that abusers often return, and as far as we know, Rob is not dead. That does not mean he's coming back to the Archers next week or next month." Calm down, everyone. Oh, Kerry, we like getting overexcited. You know that.
Putting the the behavioural patterns of abusers completely to one side, just writing a drama and having such a character, and you've deliberately not killed him off.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to return. It's just a matter of time.
Of
it could
course,
be
yeah.
5 minutes, 5 months, yeah. 5 years, but he will
yeah.
return.
Yeah. And when he does, it's just going to, it'll strike fear in everybody, even if he comes back to a whole new band of listeners who didn't know him from before, in exactly the same way that people automatically hate Hazel Woolley without her having to open her mouth. It's just the kind of the, ooh. It's
yeah.
the rumble of thunder and the crack of lightning, and that's enough to do it, really.
They should come back together. Could you imagine?
Married, yes.
Absolutely. Now, can we have some tweets of the last 7 days,
yeah.
please? Thank you.
Kate Jones said, Angry Adam is my least favourite person in The Archers, closely followed by Whispery Angry Adam. Jam Spangle said, Holy shit, a talk about kefir given by Tom. I hope they've got adequate crowd control for that. And Beige Cardigan replied with, there's a big screen outside for the overspill. That's at Open Farm Sunday. Ambridge Observer said, goodness me, did Jenny spend the night with Brian or plugged into the mains? Yes, she did sound somewhat overexcited, didn't she? And Hugsy agreed and said, Jenny darling in a post-coital glow. What a time to be alive. And tweet of the week is from Alton Gardner. This is a good one. Old Brian Aldridge had a farm. E-A-E-A-O.
That is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Now, just to end up on selflessness and heroism, right? So, Mr. Korzak, he was offered the chance to escape by the SS officer because the SS officer recognized him and knew him to be one of his favorite authors from when he was a child. So he was an author, this guy, and that's the reason why he says, look, you don't have to go with these children. He just loved kids. What a hero. Anyway, Lucy, you need to apologize to people. It's the reason why this has been so truncated. It's all your fault, as always.
I have to take my son climbing, and Royfield has also booked something in because he forgot that we had to record early. So we've hurtled through this.
Why am I getting in the neck?
Because you're going quickly too. We've hurtled through this like Alice Aldridge going through a minibar. So hey. I apologise.
One thing I do need to say to you listeners is, considering we've had so many new ones recently, could you write us a little review on iTunes or a podcast
yes.
of your choice? Because we haven't said this for absolutely for months. And you know what's happened, Lucy?
Everyone hates us now.
No, not at all. Not at all. But we fell out of those top charts.
We've no.
fallen them out of, like, we got as
we
high.
Were, we were in the top, weren't we? Once.
Exactly. We were, like, we were definitely in the top 10 for TV. Well, TV podcast, like, not really a TV podcast, but there isn't a section for radio. That's the thing. So I had to put us in TV. But we definitely were in the top 10. Now, nowhere to be seen. And the downloads are up, Luce. Downloads are up.
The uploads are down. Fantastic.
Yeah. But what we need, folks, to cement our place is a few reviews. So if you haven't written us a review, or even if you have written us a review
Friends
and you feel
me.
Like, you know, well, it's opinion, I know. But if you have written us a review, you know what, go and do another one. And if you haven't, why haven't you? So go and do that on a podcatcher of your choice. Ideally, Apple or like Google Play or just whatever, one of the big ones, and that'll be awesome. And we'll hurtle back up those charts. Like one of Joe's ferrets up a drainpipe, I suppose.
Yeah.
Now, dumdum.com, go there. It's got awesome stuff. It's got Tractor. And there was a story which I wanted to relate about the Archer's social single social, sorry. But I've forgotten it and my mind's in a blur. So go to dumdum.com and just do stuff on there. And it's awesome. Lucy, Patreon.
Yes. Oh, yes. I haven't written this bit. But I'd very much appreciate it if you like my monologues and you like Dumpty Dum, then you can buy me and Royf a cup of coffee by donating to us at Patreon at patreon.com.
Awesome. Remember, folks, to get in contact with us, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on our website or call us on 02030313105 to leave us a message from a telephone, as Laurie did. Laurie called us on that number. That's the reason. That's the reason and how we got through. Also, I need to thank Andrew Horn for buying me a very nice luncheon on Friday. I was in the smoke, Lucy. I drove from provincial Birmingham all the way down to London, and it was all sophisticated. And it was busy. I didn't know what was going on. It was awesome. And I met Andrew. And so there's this moment, and I don't think Andrew will not mind me saying this now. Mm-hmm. So at the end of our pizza, I had lasagna. Andrew had pizza. Right, so he whips out his card and says, "Royfield, this is on me, son. Don't worry about it. Expenses, don't you know?" And then the machine goes, "Nah, not accepting that card."
Oh, is it Visa one?
Exactly. And then he went, no, "I'll use my Apple Watch." So he tapped his watch and he had a little bit of a twinkle in his eyes and a look at me, you know, down with technology. And I'm thinking, I start fumbling for my wallet now going, "Bloody hell, you invite me out for lunch. I've driven 100 miles or whatever. I'm going to have to, you know, sing for me supper," so to speak. And he goes, nope. "Here's another card." So anyway, he did have the Reddies and he whacked out the Reddies. And he's like, "I don't know what's going on there, Royfield," and blah, blah, blah. You know, but yes, it was the great Visa card crash, which, you know, intruded on the end of a rather sunny, lovely meal with our Andrew Horn. But anyway, we talked about life, love and the universe. And he talked about his place in Crete and his mum and his dad and his wife and his son. And yeah, and being a chorister, we had a lovely time. Now, that's just time for me to say on the Twitter, so you can find me where I'm Royfield Lucy. And on the Twitter, you can find me and Lucy where we're at Dumdy Dum. Lucy is at
Lucy V. Freeman.
And I can be found at Royfield. And of course, there is Facebook. Sorry this has been so short, folks, but yeah, needs must and all of that, and we got stuff to do, sorry. But you've got your Archers action this week and a little bit of analysis and caller inners. What more do you want?
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. See you next week, and promise I won't speak so fast, make so many fluffs, and we'll be a little bit more in depth. Toodaloo, goodbye.
Bye.
There you go.
Quick, right. run like the wind.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.